2 weeks ago, we were all shoveling. And this morning, I was smelling crabapple blossoms as I walked in today. I mean, yeah, I like this better. I like this better. I'll go on record for that. So I want to jump right into what we want to deal with today. And this is, so you pull out your outline. It's on the back side of your Sunday paper. I invite you to follow along in that if you want to. If you don't want to, that's okay too. But it's a way of helping you kind of keep with what we're doing or remember it, and maybe even jotting down some of your own ideas about things, which is what's really important here. Also, there are some very nice people walking around handing out packages of M&Ms right now to you, which you're going to want to take one of. And if you were here last week, you know why. If you weren't, you'll find out soon why. People are enjoying this. A couple of people suggested last week that we do a 7-week series called Snickers. I'm not quite sure what they had in mind, but I like it. So this is our second week looking at our M&Ms, which I'll tell you what that's all about in just a minute. But what we're basically doing is we're taking a look at who we are and what God is doing. And what you're not doing is just paying attention to me, but that's nothing new either. I know. Yeah, you make up for weak content with chocolate. You learn that in seminary. So that's okay. If you're not paying attention in your M&Ms, you're probably coming out ahead. No, we're talking about who we are, what our lives are all made of, and how we apply that to what God is doing in the world. And this is both foundational to us as individuals, and as we try to understand what God has to do with our lives, it's also foundational to us as a church and what we try to be as a church. So this is really key. And we need to talk about that. We also need to hear from some people who are doing it in their lives. We're going to be spending time doing that this morning. And it all starts with this basic premise that I shared with you last week, and I want to share again this week. And it's basically this. And it's the first thing on your outline, and that is that you are shaped to make a contribution. You are shaped to make a contribution in this world. And that's a fundamental idea that we probably all kind of know, but we lose track of. The fact is that you are more than a pipe than you are a bucket. Do you know what I mean by that? A bucket just accumulates and just keeps getting more and more and more and has it. It becomes stagnant and it's full, and what do you do with it? A pipe is, rather than having, is all about living and giving. It holds the things of life with open hands rather than closed fists. And that's where life really happens. It's the difference between being full and being fulfilled. And that's a subtlety. I think it's something we all instinctively know. We realize that we feel best, that life is the most meaningful. We're happiest with the lives when we're contributing in some ways, giving of ourselves to the world around us. But it's really hard to hold on to that. It's one of these things, that's one of the reasons we get together as a church, to remind each other, give ourselves a vision about that, and to encourage each other, support each other, and help to do that together. Jesus was really clear about this, and he tried to be very clear about this with what he said as well as what he did. One of the things in the very beginning of one of the Gospels, actually the passage I have here is from Matthew chapter 20, where Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you should be the servant of all." In other words, what is greatness? Greatness isn't having everybody serve you. Greatness is being a servant of other people. And then he compares it to himself. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus, both with the example of his life, came to serve and not to be served, is encouraging us to do the same thing. Not because we're supposed to do it, not because we have to, but because that's what life is really all about. And that's where we really find our meaning. Last week we looked at this verse, and a lot of you dug into it in your group life meetings this last week, and that basically, it ends up with this passage where Paul, one of the early founders of the church, and was trying to help these new congregations around the known world of his time understand what it meant to be following Jesus. He says this. He says, each of you is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, God has gifted you. God has made you in miraculous, wonderful ways to make a difference in the world. Not just to accumulate something for yourself, but to do something for the common good. Now, I said that we were going to talk about who we are and about applying it to what God is doing in the world. And I would like to repeat a rather simplistic summary of what God is doing that I shared with you last week, all right? And this is really basic, and I think it's important. God is doing two things. God is building a church, and God is loving the world. Building a church and loving the world. And those two things are inextricably connected. And the only way to really be involved with either of them is to be involved with the two of them together. And that is played out in our M&M. Yes, M&Ms. You are allowed to eat these, okay? In fact, if you want to open up your packet right now and do the same thing we did last week, find two. Wow, I think someone took a bite out of that one already. Take out two. One of them, this first one, your M&M. This is something we talk about at Jacob's Well a lot. If you haven't heard it before, get used to it. Your first M is your ministry in the church. God calls us... all the choke on an M&M. God calls us all to have a ministry in the church. In other words, figure out who you are. How has God shaped you? What are your gifts? What's your experiences? What's your personality? What are your abilities? And how am I going to contribute to the church to make it healthy, to make it be what God imagined the church could be? That's one thing. You may eat that M&M. All right. The other M&M. Excuse me. You didn't see that. The other M&M is your mission in the world. All right? We're called to have a mission in the world, or missions in the world. In other words, take who you are, how you've been gifted, and how are you going to make a difference in the world? How are you going to help God love the world, right? You can eat that one now. Now, one of the things that's really important is to understand when I say the church, having a mission, a ministry within the church or a mission beyond the church, is what do I mean when I say church? And I'm repeating this a lot from last week because I want to... just have this be a basic part of our understanding and part of our vocabulary. And that is, the church is not an hour on Sunday morning, right? Church is not a place. Church is not a building. Church is not a denomination. Church is not an institution. Church is us. Church is people. Church is something that you are, not something that you have. All right? So when I say church, that's what I mean. In fact, there's a definition on your outline. If you look on the side there, it says this. It says, church is a movement. Okay? It's people being church by seeing themselves as part of the same community carrying out God's work in the world. When I say church, that's what I'm talking about. If I want to refer to the institutional church, if I want to talk about the organization, I'll say that. But when we talk about being church, that's what we're talking about here. And this is important for us because we are one, all right? And that's the kind of church I think we want to be. Now, this isn't just my idea, but this is really how it was developed from the very beginning. In fact, if you look at the New Testament, it's a part of the Bible that tells a story from Jesus' birth and on into the early church. We find that there are two words that are used that are understood as church, all right? It's in the Greek language. And the first one is koinonia. Some of you may have heard this term before. Roughly translates into fellowship, right? This is one aspect of church. This is us together here. This is where we nurture each other. This is where we grow in faith. We get to know God. We help each other grow. We care for each other. We develop our gifts, where we exercise our ministries among each other. It's essential because this is, you know, the church is God's main place of acting, reaching out into the world from. Church, remember again by the definition I was using? God's main way of touching the world and of reaching out into the world from it. So it's really important. But that's not enough, and it's not the whole part of the church, because God isn't building a church for its own sake. It isn't our job just to take care of each other. Yes, we should, you know. I think there's some real good reasons why maybe we look at caring for the church first. It's, you know, kind of like when you're on the airplane and they go through the announcements and they say, you know, when your air mask pop out of that panel in the ceiling, put your own on first before you help the person next to you. All right. I mean, that's sort of thing. God says, I need you guys to be vital. I need you to be healthy. But then there's a chicken and egg thing. As we grow in faith and we grow in our own strength and we support each other and we're reaching out and able to reach out to the world beyond us at the same time. And so that's the other word that is used for church, reflects that aspect of it. And that is the word ecclesia, which means literally called out. Called out. It isn't the church that's focused in on itself. It's the church that's focused out on the world. We've been called out from the world to see the world differently, to understand ourselves differently, to be empowered by God, and to be looking at the world like God does. But then we are called out from that to be out in the world and to live in the world. The church is not complete. The church isn't the church when it's only one or the other. When we aren't a community that is nurturing and caring for each other, supporting each other, helping each other grow in faith first, but then simultaneously reaching out into the world and being called out into the world, there's something wrong. Half the church is missing all the time. So, a mission in the world. What does that word mission mean? Again, literally, it means sent out. Right? That's a literal definition. It means to be sent out. You are sent out into the world. You are here so you can be sent out in the world. one of my key things is that the strength of a church isn't determined by its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. What kind of empowered people can we send out into the world? That shows us how strong of a church we are and how vibrant of a church we are. And so that's what we're aiming at. So turn to the person next to you, shake their hand and say, "Hi, you're a missionary. Hi, you're a missionary." Thank you. So how did that feel, huh? Last week I had you say, "Hi, you're a minister." And that was a little uncomfortable for some people, especially since I didn't get a tax deduction for saying it. Being a missionary comes with even more baggage, doesn't it? Being a missionary. You are. Simply from the fact that you are sent out. You've been called by God to go out and make a difference in the world. That makes you a missionary, okay? That's just fundamentally, it's something that we all own. It's something that we all are. And God wants you to make a difference in the world. God shaped you. God breathed life into you. God gifted you. God has walked you through all the experiences and watch you develop the personality that you have so that you could make this unique contribution to the world around you and to do it in ways that you love it. This verse from the prophet Micah, which was hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, at a time when Micah was speaking to the people who were trying to follow God, the Israelites in this case, and trying to help them get through all their baggage of getting caught up on other things and not letting God be the main thing in their life and understanding why God had entrusted so much to them. He said these words to them. He said, "The Lord has told you, O mortal, you people, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." That's what God wants you to do. Have a mission in the world. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Now you notice it begins, it says, "What does the Lord require of you?" Now, don't read that wrong. This doesn't mean you better do this or you're in trouble. No, this is answering a question that started two verses earlier in verse 6 when they said, "God, what do we do when we come into your presence? Are we supposed to bring sacrifices? Do you want me to bring an ox? Do you want me to bring a ram? Do you want me to bring jugs of oil? Well, what do you want me to do so that I can be in your presence?" And God says, no. Don't worry about that. I mean, first of all, there's nothing you could give me that I need. But I would like you on my team. In fact, that's why I brought you into this world in the first place, so that you could work alongside me. And if you really want to do something, walk with me. Do justice. Love kindness. Let's change this world. So, have a mission in the world. The band's going to play a song now, and I'd like you to start. While we're singing this song, you can stand up and join them. I'd like you to start thinking about, what has God called me? What do I need to open up in my mind, in my heart, in order to hear God calling?
God, we just ask that you would help us to love as we love. Help us each to understand how you've called us into the world and how we can be on a mission that you have engendered, that you are supporting, that you're making a difference from. Now be with us as we give this all to you and understand how you're speaking to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's see. What I want to do right now is we've got some folks who are going to come up and join us here as part of a panel. Come on up, everybody. And these are some folks from the Jacobswell community that are all pretty busy with mission in the world. And I think for some of the stuff that we want to understand and really the purpose of this being helping each of us understand what our mission in the world might be like, it's going to be helpful to hear from them. Just a couple of things, though. You have your communication cards. And if you didn't get one, in fact, there are some extra communication cards in the baskets, which are just underneath the seat in the aisle. If you can just pat, you can leave the basket, but just pass the cards on down. So if you didn't get one, take one. And what I'd like you to do is to be thinking about, where am I called in the world? Like, basically, what can I make a difference? Don't make it too hard of a question. I think we all have lots and lots of missions of very different levels. And It's just, you know, so on the back of your card, you can put your name on there. On the back of your card, just write some things that you say, well, you know, I think maybe I'm called to do this. I think this is something I could do. If it's something, if it's a mission that you've already taken on, and I'm putting that word mission on it, you maybe never thought about it that way. If it's one that something you already engaged in, put a star by that. All right? If it's a new one or something you're just kind of thinking about right now, just write it in there. Then later when we collect our offering, just put those communication cards in the offering baskets. And don't worry, you didn't make a contract. We're not going to, you know, sign you up for anything. But we will feed that information back to you guys. And if there's some questions, is there something that you'd like us to follow up with, well, we'll do that as well. But it's just really for you, but then also for us to find ways of encouraging and helping this to happen alongside of all you. So another thing, as we talk with these folks, you have the option to text message in some questions, or if you want to do it, there's also this way of tearing off a piece of paper and writing something on it that also works. I don't know how to do that, but I think some people do. And Peter here is going to be handling that. So the text messages, that number is up there. It's also on the back of your Sunday paper, on the bottom of the outline. You can get it there. And you can text questions into Peter, and he'll try to weave them into our conversation. So I want to introduce, and we'll just hear a little bit from each of our guests here today, and I'll just kind of bop through them. But each of them represents something that's really important for us to understand, and that is there are not only many kinds of missions in the world, but there's many different ways of being in mission in the world. And each of these people represents a very, not only a different sort of thing that they're doing, but really a different way of approaching how they perceive their mission in the world. Another thing that they each represent, which is, I think, really important, is that they're doing something very deliberate on their part, which is, and this is a point, folks, that I want to make clearly, I'm not talking today about being a good person and trying to do good things every day, right? I hope you all do that, right? But that's not what God is talking about here. God is saying, no, I want you to be deliberate. I want you to focus on something. Change it when you need to. Add things to it. That's not the problem, all right? But find a place and focus your energy. If you need to learn more, if you need to develop skills, if you need to, you know, try things, fine, do those things, but try to make a difference. Join me in loving this world in some ways that are really going to make a difference and have some impact. So let me just, I'll just start with you, Janice. You're closest to me. So this is Janice Haynes, and briefly, Janice, you had your own life experience, which kind of brought you into the world of the cancer world and with kids. And you were in on the very beginning of starting a nonprofit called the Angel Foundation. And is that right? And why don't you grab the mic there? Yeah, you've got the mic. So I think it should just be ready to go. Try it out. Yes, you're ready to go. So the Facing Cancer Together part of the Angel Foundation, so not only, you know, was something that was really compelling to you, but then you said, no, I want to make sure that, like, this is a real presence in the world and throw my life into it. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and what that all means to you.
Okay. Hello. And my voice might be a little groggy because we were doing the garage sales yesterday for 12-plus hours over in London Hills. My husband, who's kind of my partner in crime with the cancer community, put on a garage sale to help raise money for Mayo Clinic research for lymphoma. So we're in this together still after many years. Just to go back, 16 years ago, when I was 31, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, considered incurable, stage 4, prognosis of 8 years. I'm still here. And
that's worth a hand.
And right away when I was diagnosed, I really knew I needed to give back. I was teaching kindergarten, first grade in Minneapolis, so I love working with kids. And when I was 16, my father died of lymphoma. And at that point, 30-some years ago, way back when, there wasn't really anything around, so I knew it affected my whole family, and it had really devastating effects on my siblings in particular. And so I knew that I needed to help, and so I helped start this program. Unbeknownst to me, I helped start up this Facing Cancer Together program where we work with kids and the entire family who has a parent with cancer. I was volunteering for 10 years. It was through a hospital, and then, you know, funding, things changed, it got dropped, and then Angel Foundation, who also offers financial assistance, picked us up because they knew it was a worthwhile cause and really hired myself on, along with someone else who's a social worker and a friend of mine.
Yeah. It's become a large organization.
It has become. I've been through a lot. It's a nonprofit, so it's been a wonderful ride.
Look out what happens when God starts calling.
Exactly.
Pass the microphone on down there to Melanie. Oh, Melanie. So Melanie is fairly new to the Jakeswell community, and she was here 3-4 weeks ago when we were talking in our influence series and talking about having influence by modeling integrity. And Brad Hoffbauer was here presenting with me, who's part of Team World Vision. And he threw out the challenge, if you want to change the lives of kids in Africa by providing them with, a lifetime water, come run the marathon with me, and we'll do that. And Melanie, being the proficient marathoner that she is, just said, I'll do that. No, and that's not how it happened. Go ahead, tell us something, Melanie.
No, well, I think I was moved by his story, and it really spoke to me, and I thought it inspired me. And when he was talking, I thought, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. And especially when he got to the end, he said, you've never run a marathon. You don't even want to run a marathon. You've never want to run a marathon. I was like, yes, that is all true. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to do it. And I think I started, and I think what kind of pushed me was that I was sitting next to a friend of mine, and I could tell she kind of felt the same way, and we were both sort of like, and I was like, oh, you're going to do it too? Okay, maybe we can do this together. And I think that's what really kind of pushed it, is sort of doing it with somebody. And so that's been helpful to have a friend. And then going home and reading about what World Vision does, and it's a great organization. And it's really, it's been amazing, because I've always wanted to run. I'm not a runner. I don't run. And probably my whole life I've set my alarm for 6 o'clock and then I snooze for a half an hour. But ever since I've had a reason other than just myself to get up and go, I actually get up and I go and I run. And it's amazing that just having something other than, because I want the dog to have exercise, that it makes you do it. And it's been wonderful.
It's amazing what the fear of 26.2 miles in October could make you do right now.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's it.
Great. Well, thank you. So a really very different approach. I mean, Melanie has lots of wonderful things going on in her life, but she just felt called to this particular instance to try to make a difference in the world by training and running this marathon and raising money for wells in Africa. So that's pretty amazing. There's 20-some people from the Jakeswell community that are doing this. Pretty cool. You decide. Hand the mic. Here we go. Yeah. This is Justin Lay. Justin, I pick on him a little bit. I don't see Justin as having a mission, like something he's done. He doesn't have a nonprofit. He doesn't have this. But Justin is one of the more deliberate people I have ever met in my life. He does everything from a centered place where he's said, I think this is what I'm about and what I'm called to do in the world. And he does it, whether it's his work or whether it's his marriage, his family, his involvement with Jakeswell, the way he exercises and eats, and you're just kind of nerdy. Tell us a little bit about that, now that I set you up so
yes,
nicely.
Yes, I'll tell you about my nerddom. So actually, I'm going to focus a bit more on my career than any of those other things.
That's good.
I'll tell a little story. About a year ago, about this time actually, David Brooks, who is a columnist for the New York Times, wrote an article. And it was about how lots of graduates at this time of year are contemplating what they're going to do with their lives, right? And the way he laid it out, they sort of have two options, right? And a lot of graduates feel this way, that they can go into the nonprofit world and do lots of probably very good things, right? Or they see the other side of the choice, that they can go into the corporate world and, maybe do a less good, and maybe even some bad, if that's what they do. And that he thinks that's a false choice, and I think this really resonates with me, that if those graduates who went to the corporate route, which is what I've done, I'm the token corporate guy on the panel, then potentially they could go that route, but with the mindset of someone who went the nonprofit route. And think of what our world could be like if the if everyone that went in, you know, say the corporate route, took that nonprofit mindset with them. And I think that really resonates with me, and I think it really helped me put a name to my approach to my career, because that's something that I definitely try and do. And so, speaking of being deliberate, I think that that's put me, that approach has put me in a lot of potentially awkward situations. I mean, I've worked in some difficult cultures, which don't necessarily see things in, let's say, the nonprofit sort of way. And that's, you know, maybe that's my mission, right, is that I exist in those places and in those moments to be a voice for less corporateness, perhaps.
Hand it on over to Francis. Well, Francis got out of college and made the other choice. Francis, I don't know how the story, I've never actually heard the whole story, but what I understand from you is that you felt a real calling to make a difference in the world, and you have great gifts around connecting with people and communicating with people, and you did development work, fundraising for nonprofits to help them be successful in their mission. And she works with YouthLink, which is up there, a great organization, and so that's just kind of, you've taken your mission and said, I want to make that my mission, be my career. Now you say it.
Hi, I'm Frances. So my story of how I didn't actually decide to go into fundraising. My first job was as a 4-H agent. And if you know me, that probably is really humorous because I was the 4-H agent who was at lamb school in high heels, shearing lambs. So not the best fit. But fundraising really just kind of fell into my lap. And when I look back now, I can see God at work in many different ways in my life, which is how I ended up where I am. But at the time, it felt like, oh, you want to do this? You can do it here. Go for it, when I was in a couple of different organizations. But as Greg said, I do fundraising, and I know sometimes that's kind of a dirty word, and people, oh, how do you do that all day and ask people for money? And what I always say is I rarely really have to ask people for money. That's not my job. The way I look at it is my job is sharing with people about this amazing organization, whether it be YouthLink or other places that I've worked, that's right in their community, where they can step in and make a difference in someone's life. And that's an easy job to have, especially when you really believe in the organization you're working for, which I do. And YouthLink, if you don't know what YouthLink is, it's a nonprofit in downtown Minneapolis that works with some of the most vulnerable youth in our community who are experiencing homelessness. So I love what I do every day, and I also believe that money is a real spiritual issue for people. It can be used for amazing good in your life, and it can be used for some pretty powerful bad stuff as well. So it's a nice job to have to see and be a tiny part of helping someone do really good things with their money that are, or their time, that are bigger than themselves, so really have an impact. I love it.
Thank you for doing it. Kelly, Kelly's a little different example. Again, all these people have many other things going on in their lives, but I'll reduce them to one. But Kelly has had a cause that's been very important to her in her life, and that is, well, I'll just base it off these last 6 months, working against the amendment that was to define marriage in the Minnesota Constitution as only between man and woman, and then the legislation that was just passed this last Monday allowing same-sex marriages to happen in Minnesota, an issue that divides many of us, but I think all of us, again, are called to speak our voice and to do that. And that's been an important issue for Kelly, and you spoke out. And tell us a little bit about how that has been.
All right. I think, I don't even know where to start, but I think one of the things, obviously, that pushed me more than anything is I have two sons, and one's gay and one's straight, and to see that both of my children didn't have the same rights and benefits as each other certainly motivates me, as well as my friends who have been in relationships with each other for, say, 25 years and not had the same rights that I do. I know that my son, who's gay, wants to be married and in a committed, loving relationship and have a family just like everyone else. And so I joined 27,000 plus other Minnesotans last year to get out there and do phone banking and go door to door and just have conversations about love and commitment and sometimes people's families or gardens and birds and whatever else, but just to be out there and be this presence and talk about, even sometimes for me also, just justice and fairness and equality and things we all care about, and just hopefully bring about that change. And I think a lot of things, like with my mission, this is very important to me, but it's about seeing things that you care about that matter and just showing up and just doing your best and not being perfect and understanding others aren't perfect. But there's this conversation and this understanding about respect and tolerance that I think needs to go on even beyond this, even though we've made tremendous progress. In fact, this spring I ended up mostly just showing up and being present at the state capitol. And
that's good, but you could just sit on the sidelines and hope it worked the right way, or you can be involved. And also our missions, none of us are called to save the world, to change the world ourselves. We're called to make the difference that we can make. And we'll see how those puzzles go together. Peter, did you have anything you wanted to share with us?
One question that comes up is you each talk in your own ways about the kind of importance or relative impact that the community that within which that you are all located kind of propels you. Kelly, you talked about 27,000 being a part of 27,000 other volunteers, and
from all different backgrounds. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
Just the diversity of people who just showed up and cared about other people.
And Melanie brought up how just having a friend next to her also kind of raising her hand at the same time gave you enough of an encouragement. So my question is now for Justin, and so maybe pass the mic down to him, where you described having a mindset about and feeling a sense that you needed to approach the corporate world a little bit differently, and the way that you spend the bulk of your day and how that's oriented. Describe how that's what that's like in relation to your colleagues and the coworkers, because they didn't make that choice necessarily, but maybe you found others that have, or speak to that if you could.
Yeah, so I've definitely found others that have. I'm by no means an anomaly, but I do think that myself and the few others that I have found stand out in a corporate culture that sort of spits people like us out usually. It's the challenge for me is to not get swallowed up by that culture, and that's incredibly hard. And I've failed time and time again, and over long periods of time, I fail. And most recently, I actually had a probably few month string of failure, and was reminded by an adamant professor that I was wrong, and sort of reeled me back in and said, "This is not what you're about. This is actually what you're about over here." And served as a great reminder that even in a culture that does not support the way I think, I have to be the one that stands out for what's right. So, I think it's a mix, right? Some people align with me and some people don't. And the people that do remind me who I want to be.
That's good. To be deliberate about those relationships and find places to support it is a key. Let me just pop in. I'll let whoever wants to answer this, but has taking on this mission that you have, whatever you're doing, how does it represent like hardship that you said, this sucks. Well, anybody got any stories about that? Oh, here we go.
So I work with families who have a parent with cancer, and most of the time it's very serious cancer diagnosis. So we gain these bonds with these families, and then unfortunately a lot of times the parents die. And so especially the last couple of years, there's been lots of families that have been dying, and so it is a hardship. I wake up and I'm like, okay, I'm living and breathing cancer, and when I go home, sometimes we still talk about it, but Ben, we gotta stop. My husband can't keep talking about cancer all the time, because it is a hardship, but it's a passion of ours. So it's that balance between taking care of yourself and then still going on.
And somehow you find some fulfillment in it, I presume.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Anybody else poised? Frances, you look like you.
So my organization works with the young people who are homeless, like I mentioned. And there are a lot of tragic and traumatic stories that you hear and that happen to these young people on a daily basis, or happen to them in their past. One in particular that comes to mind is a group of seven young men who are between the ages of 18 and 21, and were all living in a shelter downtown. And they all became friends and kind of looked after each other and made sure each other was safe in this experience, because it is, they're really vulnerable. They get taken advantage of very often when they're in adult shelters. And they formed this group, and they called themselves the Last Seven, the Last Left, I think. They weren't truly the last left of young people who didn't have homes, but that's the way they felt. And so to hear their story and to kind of live that day after day and to see them and say, hey, how's your search for shelter going? What's going on with your housing applications? And to hear them say, well, last night, you know, I actually stayed at in a hotel in the lobby area and slept on the couch because I couldn't find a bus or token to get back to my shelter. It's hard. It's heartbreaking. But I'm really excited to say that of all those young men, those seven, they all have housing as of last week, like actual homes. So that story is to say that a young woman was here, and I think she's a member of Jacob's Well, and she was saying how she had worked outside of this country, and part of the risk of service was that you experience the sadness and the heartache, and you do. But the other side of that, and I think what keeps you going, is you experience their joy when really good things happen. So you live in that world between hearing really sad things, but just elation that you get to be a part of when something good happens. And I think that's what keeps you going.
Melanie, any hardships with you training for that marathon?
Sounds easy.
Running.
Oh, okay. Do you ever regret the decision?
No.
Honest? Just be honest.
No, my husband's here.
Well, okay, yesterday was the first day I said that I had, and I said, I don't know if the word is regret, but it was like our yard looked terrible. And I thought, okay, I'm supposed to do this 5-mile run today, and that's going to take me an hour. And then I can't make the yard, and I think a yard or an hour with our yard wouldn't do much, but there was a little bit of like a time thing, you know, like this is going to take a lot of time. But I ran, and right when I got back, I had a little regret because I was so tired, and I thought, I can't do this. But after probably a half hour, I was like, okay, that was good. That felt good, and I'm glad I did it. So it kind of comes and goes.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's important to be honest about that. So the truth is, if it's worth doing, it's going to require some sacrifice on your part. You're going to probably have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to give up some things to do what God's called you to do in this world. And that is giving up stuff. You're going to lose some stuff. But I really do think that that's part of God's economy, is that this is really what life is made of. This is how you find fulfillment. There's some fill-ins on the rest of your outline, and I'm not going to try to go through these. I think the time we've had with them has been more important. Actually, if you're really obsessive compulsive, I'll give them to you right now, just raw words without saying anything about them. But Jacob's Well as an organization needs to be a launch pad for your mission, not a bottleneck. All right? That's one that means we're not going to run this stuff. We're not going to centrally organize missions. You're going to do it. Let us know what it's doing. We'll connect you with other people. We'll help you do that, but we're not going to run it. You are. Then our variety of gifts from the same God mean that we value but don't always share each other's missions. You know, I'm sure Janice wonders, why doesn't everybody care about families with cancer as much as she does, and how come we're not helping her? Because that's her passion. But some of us were called in other areas, and some of us are called in her area. So that's something we have to learn to deal with. The last is what we were just talking about, and your mission doesn't subtract but adds to your life. It demands a lot. It's going to require some hardships, but it's going to add to your life. So that's an important thing to do.
They're flying in now.
I know. So I'm going to add some blogging. We'll put these questions on our website as well and let you guys contribute some responses to it. But give us a couple, at least throw out some questions so we can just hear what was.
Right. Well, you know, that's not a bad idea. More of a comment, and I think we can all kind of resonate with this, but it sounds, you know, the key to, there's a common thread here that talks about, and someone has identified that making these choices aren't really so much choices as it is making and identifying what's going to need to be primary or central or a priority in your life. And for the next foreseeable future, it means running instead of working on the yard, or it means, you know, making a very clear, conscious decision in a meeting with your colleagues, or it means maybe
spending Saturday at a
exactly sacrificing a other parts of your process. Life or a challenge. So someone else asks, you know, how does this affect the other people in your life? And presumably, we think of our family and our friends and our other circles of places where we have influence or people are influencing us. How are these decisions? And maybe that's one to throw back at you a little bit. And see what kind of reactions we might have.
I think time-wise, we're just going to reflect on the questions here.
Yeah, and somebody else wants to say specifically, what encouragement do you have for us?
Ooh, let's close off with that. Get some encouragement for us. You got the mic, so you can hand it off or get rid of it fast. Hot potato.
I guess I would just say, don't be afraid. That sometimes you just got to go for it. It'll be fine. Right?
Yeah, that's good.
I guess I would just say I'm not special by any means. I mean, lots of you do the same things that I do, so you probably have encouragement for me, but be who you are, I guess, is what I would say.
I think there was a lot of time where I was doing fundraising and I didn't really think of it as my mission, and so I would bet a lot of you are actually doing your mission work right now and you don't realize it. So I think maybe take a step back and look at what you're doing every day with a different viewpoint.
I agree with these guys. Like I said, I think it's about showing up and just doing it and just trying. And like I said, realizing that you're not going to be perfect and it doesn't matter. And you're going to fail and you're going to learn and you're going to grow and you're going to do some good things too. But just to try. That is, just take that step.
Take the step. Next, what's next in your life? And being about what's next. That's fantastic. So you guys had questions, and we didn't even get all their stories. We're learning how to do things like this, and I hope you got something out of this, and you'll be thinking about that. So the band's going to come up and play some music. You guys are welcome to go back. We're going to pass the offering baskets now. If you're new here, if this is your first time at Jacob's Well, your presence is your gift. If you want to support us with a financial gift, we are happy to receive that from you. If you are part of our community, it's how we contribute that makes a little difference. You may notice the baskets are kind of empty as they get passed, and that's largely because a lot of people do online giving. So, you know, all they are sticking in is the communication cards. But put your ministry items on your communication card in that basket, or you can bring it up here afterwards as well. So thanks much.